Spoiler. Just a spoiler. There's no. You're probably not going to hear anything new this evening, I'm afraid to say. After all, there's nothing new under the sun, as we all know. Not much of what I'm going to say this evening is an original thought, I don't think. It even boils down to very basic advice in the end. That being said, don't all rush out, because prayerfully, hopefully, it's going to be, as the evening has already been so far, very reassuring, encouraging, and hopefully it'll lead us into a closer relationship with our Father. So is that what people are up for? Amen. Awesome. Cool. So, secondly, I'm not going to do this psalm any justice in 30 minutes, if I'm speaking that long, because there's so much in there. So I'm going to touch on what I can, but I would really advise you to go home and read it. Spend some time just letting the truth sink in, because it's been a proper privilege for me to just get into this passage and the thoughts that have come around with it. And I would definitely say you're not going to get it all tonight in 30 minutes, that's for sure. There's so much. Okay, and lastly, so this evening I'm going to touch on a little bit about hip-hop, computing, and a duck-billed platypus. I just want to say now that I know very little about any of those things. I'm not an expert at all. But hopefully all those things, those random things, will all come together as tools to hopefully help us understand something, make a point. Hopefully it won't just be random, but it will be useful too. Okay, so you might be trying to figure out why on earth it's called Screams and Whispers. What on earth has Psalm 139 got to do with screams and whispers? So we're going to look at three things this evening. Firstly, what does the world scream? Secondly, what does God whisper? And thirdly, why does it matter? So here we go. So the first thing, the first point is that the world screams a phrase, born, live, strive, succeed. Kind of have your idea of kind of go, go, go. Yeah, got to be on the go, got to be doing something. Busy, busy, busy. I've got to admit to Toby here, this. I'm going to read a poem in a minute. It's actually a song, a hip-hop song. I'm just going to read it, I'm not going to rap. But actually, it came to mind in one of Toby's sermons. So I hope you're not offended, but a hip-hop track came to mind whilst I was listening to you preach. But it just seemed to fit really well. Just a lot of the Ecclesiastes stuff, actually. But it came to mind. So I'm going to try and do it justice. But here we go. So it says, taught young, the world's wisdom. I was told life's a game. The earth will be your stadium. Be alert. Pay attention. One day, even your friends will become the competition. Trust no one. But do remember this. Never burn any potential bridges. Know who's who and what they can do for you. And don't feel bad. Because in the end, they're going to do it to you too. Remember, life's not fair. In order to maintain, you're going to have to let your sensitivity be trained. A machine, more than a human being. What you say doesn't have to always be what you mean. Tell them what they want to hear if it's to your benefit. Life, words behind closed doors are insignificant. Push yourself, never be satisfied. Even if you don't get it, at least you'll die knowing you tried. Born, live, strive, succeed. Gain it all, but now it's time to leave. Taught young, the world's wisdom. Begin to pay attention and make my own observations. All of the kids working hard for admiration, trying their best not to meet their social expiration. It's kind of hard in a world this finicky, easily praised and yet destroyed just as quickly. I guess me and this world must not be compatible, because I don't want its approval to feel valuable. So who's next? To climb the wall of success, just to see how good the top really gets. Chasing lies, disguised. I lost my mind. chasing lies disguised as going somewhere, only to arrive and realize it's really nowhere. That's even if we get there in the first place. What an incredible letdown we're bound to face when we substitute purpose for a cheap counterfeit, too busy trying to succeed in life that we forget to live it. You can live in the infinite or give in to the immediate, gain it all, but someday you have to leave it. This world is temporary and its heart is selfish. Think to yourself, is this what wealth is? But now, all we see is now. And now is not a bad thing, but now does bring tomorrow then. Now becomes then. Moments escape, new ones replace them. I don't want to face the end still searching, asking what in this world did I ever find worth in? What could be worse than a life of wasted years? Nothing lasting, nothing true, nothing dear. I fear losing beauty in pursuit of bigger things. I fear a broken home courtesy of the American dream. Maybe that's just me with my emotions on my sleeve. But one way or another, we all wear what we believe. Born, live, strive, succeed. Yeah, so that's one of the things that can kind of come across, this kind of go, go, go message. One of the other things that we can read, kind of get from the world kind of screams, is kind of depression. Kind of Ricky touched on it just now. When you watch the news, do you not sometimes just get depressed? I think I struggle sometimes to figure out how on earth we've got to this point in human history, in our existence, and somehow we're still dealing with racism and sexism. There's still jobs where women aren't being paid as much as men. This day and age, it baffles me a little bit. Human trafficking, I thought we'd abolished slavery years ago. All the atrocities that go on, that we see on the news, all the things you can think of that I haven't got here, it can just fill you with despair. It does me sometimes. So that's another thing that can sometimes scream at us. And then thirdly, more on a personal level, so that's kind of more the world, big world issues kind of thing. And then thirdly, kind of maybe personalise it and kind of feeling of worthlessness perhaps. Just when life just gets too hard. Stuff going on. Just personal things. Feeling worthless, having someone tell you that you're just not good enough, you can't do this, you're not going to be able to achieve that. Or maybe just being too small to be able to affect one of the bigger things. You might really want to make a difference, save and end poverty and all this kind of thing. You kind of start that way as a teenager, don't you? I did. I was like, hey, yeah, I'm going to change the world. And you kind of grow up and get cynical. Well, I did. And you kind of think, oh, I can't change anything. You just feel too small, too insignificant. Or how about on Facebook, when you kind of see other people's lives and you kind of compare your own to theirs, you kind of see all these photos of holidays and things that other people are doing, and you kind of compare, which it's not really comparing the same thing. It's you're kind of seeing what they want you to see. You know, you're kind of seeing the highlights of someone else's life. You don't know what's behind the photo. But still, you can kind of look at that kind of stuff and think, oh, I wish I had that. I wish I had that money so I could go on that holiday. And, you know, you can get that sometimes. Okay, and then lastly, and there's something else. This is something that nature screams. So, hopefully, we've got a picture. Does anybody know what? Well, I've already said what it is, haven't I? So this is a duck-billed platypus. I'm just going to look at it for a minute because it makes me laugh. It's quite strange. So why on earth am I showing you this? So apparently when the scientists first discovered this, they thought it was a hoax. They thought someone had sewn different parts of an animal together. And I'm going to read an excerpt, which is from Wikipedia, so it must be true. So this says, the unusual appearance of this egg-laying, duck-billed, beaver-tailed, otter-footed mammal baffled European naturalists when they first encountered it, with some considering it an elaborate hoax. It is one of few species of venomous mammals. The male platypus has a spur on the hind foot that delivers venom capable of causing severe pain to humans. The unique features of the platypus make it an important subject in the study of evolutionary biology. I'm sure by now some scientists have kind of come up with an explanation as to why that animal is the way it is. But it's just an example. A bit of a silly one. But I mean, I just look at it and think, is God having a laugh? I hope so. But anyway. But sometimes you kind of marvel at nature. Have you ever watched a nature show and just kind of been in awe of something, whatever it is? It could be like a tiny little insect or like the ocean or the stars. It could be anything, but sometimes I just watch those shows and I can find myself in a moment of just awe. I'm just like, this is amazing. Especially like deep sea creatures that have never been discovered. We can't have not recently only just been able to go down that far. So they can only assume they are created just for us to find them in this time. It's just mind-blowing, really. Although my moment of awe is always curtailed by a moment of frustration. If a expert then pops up and suggests that this is some kind of chance mutation or kind of a chance occasion, and I'm like screaming at the telly. It's like, no, surely there must be more. That's something that nature screams, I think. There must be more. There must be more than just chance. So those are some of the things that the world can scream at us sometimes. So what does God whisper? I'm going to read through a number of statements here that all come from Psalm 139, or kind of based on it. I'm going to read through it fairly slowly. I'm going to do it twice, because there's so much in there. And I'm not going to pick on one or two necessarily, but a few I'll highlight as we go on. I'm just going to read them out and just kind of let it sink in. So this is God talking about you. I love you. I care about you. I created you. I designed you specifically just the way you are. I have a purpose and a plan for your life. I dwell within you. I know you. You are not an accident. I want to guide you, to bless you, to strengthen you and comfort you. I didn't just know and create, but I want to be involved in your life. Nothing is beyond me. I love you. I care about you. I created you. I designed you specifically, just the way you are. I have a purpose for your life. I dwell within you. I know you. You are not an accident. I want to guide, to bless, to strengthen, and to comfort you. I didn't just know, I didn't just create, but I want to be involved in your life. Nothing is beyond me. Like I said, we'll come through a few of those or continue to come through, but those are just some of the things that God whispers. And that's just this psalm. Obviously, there's the whole scripture, which kind of echoes that and other things. Okay, so why does it matter? What does it matter what God whispers and what the world screams? What difference does it make to me? And just before we go on to this bit, just bear with me, because it's going to get a little bit technical. It's all worldly technical stuff. So if you don't get it, or it doesn't make any sense, and just zone out for a few minutes, it's fine. hopefully we'll come back to the important bits in a bit, but hopefully it'll help just set the point. So, in my small group, I'm well known for abbreviations, apparently. So, I've got another one for you this evening. Does anyone know what this stands for? Garbage in, garbage out. So, I think it's originally a computer term. And so, basically, what it's saying is, if you put rubbish data into your computer, if you put the wrong information in, you're going to get rubbish data out. So think of it like an error message, for instance. So next time you see an error message on your PC or your laptop or tablet, whatever, consider the possibility, not always the case, but it's possible that you've clicked the wrong thing or you haven't filled out the whole form or you've missed something or you've done something wrong. And I work in IT and it's often the user that's the problem. and to be fair, it's normally me. But anyway... So it's often user error. Normally, whatever you put into a PC, it will try and program it and understand it, and it will try and give you something. So if you put garbage in, you'll get garbage out. And why on earth am I talking about computers? You may be legitimately asking. I believe there's truth to this. This theory can also be true of our lives. I believe there's an element of truth in that. And I think the reason it matters what we listen to, if we listen to God's whisper, or if we listen to life's screams, is because it determines who we are. It determines our attitudes, our expectations, our behavior. Here's another way to look at it. So we'll start at the top with beliefs. And I want to suggest that our beliefs are formed of things that we let in. From the very start of our lives, we're having information pushed at us, told at us, taught us, then we're taking it all in, taking it all in. So all the information that we take in, I believe, what I'm going to suggest, helps to make up our beliefs. What we watch on TV, what we read, what we experience, what we listen to on the radio, all these sorts of things, and loads of other things, all contributes to what we believe. And one of the lines in the song I read earlier, I think it was the last line, said, "One way or another, we all wear what we believe." And I like that. It stood out to me the first time I heard that. And it kind of means that how we behave, how we kind of talk to each other, how we think, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we do everything, how we do reflects what our actual beliefs are. Which is, I think, I always find a challenge on a Sunday, because we often sing songs about what we believe. But then so often on a Monday, something comes up and it's difficult and you kind of find it hard to remember what you said on Sunday, which is a challenge to us all, I'm sure. But I do believe that our behaviour does truly reflect our beliefs, which can be a bit scary when you look at yourself and you look at your behaviours and you think, does that match up with what I say on a Sunday? And then the worrying conclusion that maybe that does reflect my true belief. And I'm not saying that's absolutely true, but there's definitely an element of truth in it. So, and what we believe affects our expectations, and our expectations affect our behaviour. Our behaviour affects our results. So that's kind of either you're a success or you're a failure. You try a behaviour, if it's good or it's bad, that's the result. And then that reinforces your belief. Or it can form a new belief, depending on the outcome. So if it was a good result, then that will reinforce your belief. But if it was the opposite result that you were believing, then it might become more negative belief. So that's kind of the cycle. This is like the technical bit. And if it's, please don't make this the only thing you remember, because this is probably the least useful thing I'm going to say. But hopefully it's making a point. So if we put in the life screams at the top, in your beliefs, if we have in our belief system, in our beliefs, we hold tightly to depression, suicide, hopelessness, striving to be a success, regardless of anybody else, regardless of what anyone else wants to do. Insignificance, materialism, the importance of me. If we have all that at the top in our beliefs, that's going to change our expectations and our behaviour. And to be honest, the results probably aren't going to be that great. And it seems to be a lot about what the teacher in Ecclesiastes is talking about, that kind of scenario. It's meaningless. It's a waste of time. And it's all about the results. If the result is good, then you're positively reinforced and you can carry on. But if the result is bad, then you start to think negatively. So everything in this version of this diagram is about results. It's about results. Be a success or a failure, and that will determine where you go. But if instead we let God in by reading, if we read Psalm 139 instead, obviously we have the benefit of the rest of Scripture too. So we put these things in instead. Now God loves me. He wants to be involved in my life. He wants to bless me. He dwells within me. He wants to guide me, comfort me, strengthen me. Nothing is beyond him. If we let all that in to our beliefs at the top, then suddenly the results don't seem to matter. Because our expectations may be that God can help us in every situation. God's going to help us. He wants to bless us. Maybe if we're praying for healing, kind of simple example, I suppose, and we might expect that God is going to heal someone. But our behaviour isn't that we try to heal them. Our behaviour is that we go to pray. We ask God. And we leave it to him. So the result is kind of missed out, because we don't affect the result. We can't affect that. If God chooses to heal, or he chooses not to heal, that's up to God. It kind of reminds me of Paul when he asked God to take away his thorn in the flesh. 3 times, I think it says. And he didn't. So sometimes God says no, you know, and that's difficult. But that's okay in this type of thinking. Because when that happens, we go back to our beliefs. We just go straight to our beliefs, and we go back to the psalm. We go back to scripture. And our behavior becomes prayer and kind of getting stuck into scripture. Because that's what we can do. That's what we can actually establish that. We can help our relationship by doing that. And that then reinforces our beliefs, the true beliefs from the Bible. And it kind of goes on, which to me seems, that's obviously the ideal. Now, whether we can achieve it or not, well, that's up to us to try. So, here comes like the really simple Christianity 101 application of this. So what have we got? We've got, one of the things we can do is read the Bible. 101, that's the first thing you learn, isn't it? If you're a Christian, read the Bible. It's also, everyone seems to struggle with it. Well, I certainly do, and I think a lot of other people do. But it's just so key. It kind of reinforces our beliefs. That's the primary way that we can control. We can go to the Bible and we can read it. We can understand what it says. So we need to find a way of getting the Bible in somehow. And I've struggled with that. And the advice I've been given is, even if it's just a verse, even if it's just a verse that you think you can manage, you should probably manage your time better so you don't have, you can have more time than that. But if for some reason you're really struggling and you can't and you think, I haven't got any time, Just read a verse. It goes in. You might think, to me, I always like to write notes when I'm reading something. Quite a slow reader. I like to read something, write it down, and that's a good way for me to learn. But that's been a problem because if I haven't got much time and I want to read a scripture and I think, well, if I don't write it down, there's no point because I'm going to forget it anyway. And that just means I don't read it at all. So I've been encouraged to actually, just read a verse. Read a verse. It'll go in. And it will make a difference. And it kind of starts a good habit as well of just getting scripture inside. Second thing we can do is pray. And when we pray, this is the next point as well, when we pray, we have to be honest. We can tell God how we feel. When you're facing something, if it's a big, wide world problem or if it's a really personal problem, He wants to know, anyway, he knows how you feel. He doesn't need us to tell him, but he wants us to. He wants us to go to him and be honest and say, I'm really struggling with this. He wants us to tell him. He wants us to ask him for help, for guidance, to go to him. And we've been doing a series in the evening services, The Gifts of the Spirit. And in our small group, we've been doing a book which is about the same thing. And it's been so encouraging to think, we ask God for this help, and all along, the Spirit is in us, and he gives us the gifts or tools, if you like to use it in that term, he gives us the tools to actually make a difference and do something, which is awesome. He doesn't just make it better, he might do, but he wants us to be, it's a collaborative effort. He wants us to be involved, which is pretty cool. But we need to give time to listen to God too. Which again is very difficult, I find. And then lastly, I probably should have put this one first, because it's probably not in the right order, but talk to someone. We're all in this boat together. We all have the same struggles, or at least similar ones. We all face the same things. We're all in this life together. We need to talk to each other, whether that's in a small group, or tonight after the service, in another group setting, one-to-one, doesn't really matter. Just tell someone, speak to someone, get some support. Yeah, for me, that small group, it's like, I've always came, my original church, we only had 30 people. And that's where I grew up. That's how I knew church was. So coming out to uni and going to a massive church in Southampton, I kind of got lost. And even churches since then, I've just found life group or small group, cell group, whatever you want to call it. That's kind of kept me alive spiritually, I think. because you can just be honest with people. You know, you can encourage, you can just be a real support network. And that's what we're supposed to do for each other, whether you're in a small group or not. There's other ways of doing it. That's just a way that's particularly good for me. So it sounds very basic, and it's really quite simple in theoretical terms, and yet we still struggle. But I just want to throw this in. But God meets us where we are sometimes, always. So I walk from Chandler's Ford to Bishopstoke. That's my daily commute. And if I'm in a good season, spiritually, you know, I'll spend that time wisely. I'll read my Bible on my phone, get a devotion. I'm like, yeah, awesome, great. Have a prayer, great, awesome. It's really good. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. Probably a lot less than I would hope. So sometimes I decide, oh, forget it, it'll be easier just to stick some music on. I don't have to think about it, really. And I am a music lover. I love all sorts of music. But God has spoken to me through the music I listen to, even on the times when I've actively decided not to read my Bible, not to pray, and he'll still say something to me through a song that I'm listening to. In fact, the original title of this talk was going to be Whispers in the Dark, and that's the song that I've heard. And it just the lyrics are just so encouraging. And very similar to this psalm, you'll never be alone. When darkness comes, you'll know I'm never far. Hear my whispers in the dark. It's just a song lyric, but it became amazing to me that God still met with me, even though I decided I wasn't going to try and meet with him. So it's just a real blessing, really. So those things are still there. So it's really a prayer, is to kind of try to figure out a way of implementing these things, which is obviously the hard part. But if we're talking to each other, if we're sharing our struggles, if we're trying to give time to God to listen, if we're praying, if we're reading the Bible in whatever way we can, then we're going to be helping ourselves. We're at least along the right track. So I'm going to play a song now. It's quite a reflective song. And if songs aren't your thing and that's not how you like to reflect or it doesn't suit you, then that's fine. Either just take it as a time of reflection for yourself, or just open Psalm 139 and just read it through. It's all in there. It's incredible. But the idea behind the song is, I guess the person who wrote it is talking about himself, who struggles to pray, who doesn't know what to say. And he kind of talks about God and how we are designed to be with God, and kind of just thinks about that for a little bit. So we'll have the song, and then that'll be the end of that, and then we'll have the final song. But so yeah, it was just a prayer, really, just to help us to pray, just to, in any way we can, just to be in his presence, just to try and deepen our relationship with him. So that'd be what I advise. In whatever way suits you to do that, try to do that whilst the song's playing.